Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us tonight. I have a very special guest who is going to great lengths to be with us tonight. Sophie Denis is in Lyon, France. I'll say it in English. Sophie Denis is in France, and she's a wonderful psychic, and we connected around our mutual interest in Ho'oponopono. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning where she lives, and she's here live with us. So we will be talking to Sophie in just a few minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And it seems like the obvious topic is time. You know, here I sit at 9 p.m. my time on the East Coast of the United States, and for Sophie, it's 3 a.m., but we make that stuff up. Yes, the planet is rotating, and we've divided things up so we can keep track of the rotation and all the rest of it, but there's another level at which time is just something we make up, because the past doesn't exist anymore. It existed for a moment, and then it was gone, and we keep focusing on it and bringing it back, but it's gone. And the future is a set of probabilities, which by focusing on them, we can make one more likely than another, but the future doesn't exist. The only thing you have is this present moment, wherever you are. Might be daylight, might be nighttime, might be whatever it is, but all you have is the present moment. When somebody goes into deep meditation, one of the experiences that is usually described is that time stops, or the experience of time disappears. And I wondered about that, because in effect, that says if you actually are fully in the present moment, time doesn't exist. And that makes some kind of sense. So the other circumstance in which time either slows down or doesn't exist, and Einstein, in describing relativity, said a few minutes with a beautiful woman is like an hour, but a few seconds with your hand on a stove seems like hours and hours, that everything is relative to what your experience is in that moment. In a true emergency, almost everyone reports that time slows down. And you'll see that in movies as a special effect where time is slowed down, everything goes into slow motion. And people who have never been in a life-threatening emergency where they're totally focused haven't had that experience. They think it's just a special effect. But I've had it. I know a lot of people that do emergency work and that are police and firefighters that talk about it all the time. And I was giving a talk one evening, and one of the people in the audience was a U.S. Coast Guard rescue swimmer. And for those of you that aren't familiar with that job, these are the guys that go out for rescues in extremely bad weather. So somebody is on a small boat somewhere in high seas, and the job of a rescue swimmer is to jump out of a helicopter without a rope, without a parachute, just jump, I don't know how far, dozens of feet. And when they hit the water, they swim to the boat, and then they have a piece of rope with them. They can attach things there and then bring the line down from the helicopter and rescue the people, get them off the boat. You figure it might happen in that circumstance. So I pulled a guy aside after the talk, and I said, you know that experience I was talking about time slowing down? How frequently do you guys experience that? And he said, every time we go out the door. We depend on it. It makes things take longer, so we have more time to work. We work in that slowed down time, and it's part of the way that we keep from being afraid and we get the job done, is we know time will slow down in that emergency space. We get back on the helicopter, time returns to normal. So when you're struggling with time issues, when you're thinking about time issues, when you're trying to figure out what's going on and why there isn't enough time or how to save time or any of the rest of it, really understand that the only thing you've got is this moment, and that if you're truly in this moment, time doesn't even exist. And we've all had moments where we just forgot about time. It just wasn't there. Oh, what time? Oh, it's been an hour? How could that possibly be? But that doesn't really help Sophie, for whom this is 3 a.m., and our joke is I brought the coffee and she brought the croissant for our meeting. How are you tonight, Sophie?
I'm very well. I should have you to explain to my clients your story about the time, because it's one of the basis of my work as well. People worry about the past. About the future, but people forget to live in the present time.
Right. Right. And not only don't we do it, most of us don't know how to do it. In the moments when we do it, we don't notice. so we can't return to the experience and go, oh yeah, it's that. And we live in societies where everything is about distraction and not being in the moment. You've got your nose in the computer or the TV or all the other things that are going on that keep you from having your personal experience in the moment of what your actual experience is, which is often very cool.
Yes.
So one of the things I like to do in these interviews, and I know your personal story is really fascinating, is talk about what your path was, what your spiritual path was, how things started for you, that you became aware that you had, that you were different in some way, and what you did, who your teachers were, what the challenges were. And I know from what we talked about and what I read that it started very early for you.
Yes, well, around 13 years old, but basically after I was told by a famous astrologist in France that it's a gift from birth, and then it depends on the degree of how you accept this gift or not. And in fact, you don't think you're different. You just get your friends, your relatives, starting to say to you something's weird because you're always right. So basically, little by little, you think you're special, but you're not special. You just have another perception, and humility is the basis, and it grows and grows and grows with the years, and self confidence as well, because it's not like you see the future for someone, but you feel things and you know it's true, you know it's the right path, and you just explain that to the persons. And usually I make this joke. I say, I think you came to see me to take the highway with your car and not the little roads, just to gain some time. And that's it, because more and more people are in a hurry. And they come to you with two options. Like, I have two companies. I want to sell one, for instance, A or B. Basically, now it sounds like that, a tarot session with me, because I have more men than before also. So it's more materialistic than before. But it's also, it stays very, very, very on a spiritual level, and I'm very happy about that. I'm very optimistic because there is a collective growth, how do you say, where people realize that the world is changing for the best, and they really wonder what's going to happen and how they could live a better life. I have many, many people turning 40, 50, wanting to change life totally, from a big entrepreneur to raising goats on the countryside, And it sounds like a joke, but it's true. Many, many people go back to nature, go back to values, family, and I'm glad about that, if I can contribute. And and assure them that they are taking the right path. And I've done the part of my job.
Well, so just to give people an idea, your present work includes tarot readings and what other kinds of psychic work, and then you also teach.
Yes. I use stones a lot. I use quartz a lot. You know, for instance, I use pink quartz when it comes to love. I use normal quartz when it comes to basic questions. And of course, tarot, oracle. The cards of Doreen Virtue as well are really interesting, but I don't use them very often. And when I feel the person, it depends. Sometimes no help at all. Or, you know, how do you say the pendula? You know, the pendula?
Mm-hmm.
Pendulum. Yeah,
pendulum.
Okay, I use this as well. And after, I need 10 to 15 minutes to connect with the person. And in fact, the tarot will give me confidence and details and sometimes dates, because it's really hard to tell someone when exactly, because time has no importance as a psychic, you know, as you said, mm-hmm. time doesn't exist. You just know exactly I call it the mission of life of the person, because basically I believe that the person came on earth with a mission. You can't really choose the date of birth and the date of death, okay? But you can change 95% of what's in between. And that makes our job really interesting, because when you are with positive thoughts, then the journey can become really agreeable. And of course, connected to this, you have the law of attraction, one of the basis of our way of thinking, and Ho'oponopono, of course. And I started to give conferences on the subjects last year, and it's a very good thing here in France, because it doesn't really exist yet. In the States, in Canada, you have a lot, but in France, it's starting only. And we do it as well because I lived on the Balearic Islands in Palma de Mallorca, and it's really mystic there. So you have a lot of psychics there as well, and the law of attraction is really famous there, is very known. But in France, it's starting, I'd say.
So in France, the law of attraction, metaphysics, things like Ho'oponopono are really new and just starting to be introduced.
Sorry?
In France, the law of attraction and Ho'oponopono are something very new.
Well, yeah, it came out with the book, you know, The Secret.
Mm-hmm.
It came with the book and then with the movie. But we don't have a lot of French material, only books. Not many movies, not many interviews. So that's why we are starting conferences and seminar, and it's doing great. And I can see, you know, when I came back to France last year, on the social networks, I had like 700 members, but for years I had 700 members. And now in January 2012, I have 2,800.
Wow.
Only people interested in law of attraction, Ho'oponopono, positive thoughts, all this. So it grows very fast now.
And that's how we met, was on Facebook.
Yes.
I noticed your Ho'oponopono group, and I had just done the interview with Dr. Hugh Len, and I sent you the link for it, and that's how we started talking.
Ah, great. This is one of my dreams. I want to meet the person. I've never met him.
He's an amazing guy to be with. He's very quiet, very humble. He doesn't say much. You know, he's not somebody that draws attention to himself at all. And
like this old shaman, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's just, it's being with an old shaman. Yeah. And, you know, we had a wonderful conversation, but if I hadn't been asking questions, it would have been, there would not have been much of a conversation. We would have just sat and smiled at each other. And a lot of information would have transferred in that sitting and smiling with each other. You know, just a wonderful man.
And it's the voice of wisdom, huh?
Yeah. 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 I remember one of the things he said. I did a weekend training with him about a year ago, which is when I first met him, and people were going up in their heads and trying to make sense of things and making it very complicated. And he would get frustrated and say, look, I can make this much harder, and I could charge you more money for it, because then you'll think that you're getting more. But the truth is, this is really, really simple. Stop making it hard.
Oh, this is great. But are all the groups connected, you know, because I get in contact with openopono.org in France, and they don't seem to be connected. It's it becomes big, but it's like they don't know each other. You have one group in France, one group in Canada, one group in the States. Where is Dr. Hulena in Hawaii?
It's in Hawaii, and it's the, you know, they have a specific name for the teaching that comes from his teacher.
Yes.
It's self-identity through Ho'oponopono.
Yeah, the identity of I.
So, you know, there obviously are lots of other people teaching it, but in many ways that goes right back to the original teacher. And that's being able to speak directly and hang out directly with someone who's that close to the original teaching is really amazing.
Oh, yes.
It's really amazing. And what he says is, all I do is clean. You know, it looks like I'm teaching something. I'm not. I'm just here cleaning myself, hoping that that will give people what they need, that it'll make the space for people to have what they need. It's just, he just keeps doing Ho'oponopono. That's all he does.
How Joe Vitale explains it is amazing. The testimony, the experiences, it's amazing. Huh? But it was the same for me. Huh? It was the same for me when I started to clean, as you say, okay? I was just repeating to myself, I love you, thank you, please forgive me, I'm sorry. It goes to your subconscious at one stage. And you realize that you're saying it and saying it and saying it without thinking about it. And here you just touch bliss for 1 second.
Right.
You approach bliss. And it's amazing. It's like meditating. Because I have to meditate in between my tarot sessions. So I cut the energy of the person I just had.
Right.
And I get ready for the next one. But I used to do exercise with breathing. And now I just do Ho'oponopono, and it's
right.
enough for me.
Right.
It puts me in the perfect state. It connects me with my inner child and with the present time, and I see clear, fast, thanks to that.
And one of the things that Dr. Hulin talks about is you can talk to your subconscious and say, I want to do Ho'oponopono all the time. Even when I'm asleep, even when I'm not paying attention, and especially about the things that I'm not aware of.
Mm.
And that as you continue to set that intention, what happens is you're always doing it, whether or not you're conscious of doing it, because you set that intention.
Hard to believe at the beginning, yeah?
Absolutely. But most spiritual practices are hard to believe at the beginning. So I'm still curious about the story of, you know, how you developed. So at some point your family moved to Spain, is that right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. But I developed the gift before, in fact. Well, at the beginning, you know, you just live like a normal person, you know, into brackets. Okay. So I turned 20 and I decided to do graphic design, and then I became a hair hostess for a very famous French company. Very famous airline. And I stayed 10 years, but during the 10 years, you know, you mix up with 1,800 stewardess and everything. So, you know, basically when you start to say that you're psychic, then you get people interested and you start to do tarot and everything. And I had my first child, and it was so beautiful for me that I just said to my family, I can't go back to work. I want to see my children grow.
Right.
So maybe it's time for me to stop and to really accept and develop my my activities. So it was not welcome. I was very, very, very lonely in that process. Because, you know, you have this proper job and you make a good living, and it's normal again. Okay. And then you just say that you want to stop everything and to become a psychic 100%. So I'd say to everyone who want to start the same activity, they think they have the gift. But it is a very, very, very lonely process. And you have to trust yourself, and you will feel desperate many, many times, because you need to be in constant connection with your guides, and it's not that easy. But after now I'm turning 40 years old, and I say after 20 years now, I can say that I'm starting to feel very good about it.
Yeah,
it took me some time.
And that's one of the things people don't realize. You know, your family identified that you had a gift when you were a teenager, but here you are, you know, 20 years later, and you're finally saying, "Oh, I think I'm really comfortable with what I do." And it takes that long. And you know, a lot of people think, "Oh, you're so amazing. You must have been this way as a kid." And I'm like, no.
Yes, yes. You know, it reminds me of this family where the child wants to be a rock star or an actor or, you know, an artist. And then you hear the parents say, okay, work at school first, get a real job first, and then we'll see. You know, it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. It depends also on the religion and many, many things, you know. I was raised in a family where if you go and see a psychiatrist, you're just crazy.
Right.
Huh? You're crazy, point. So no discussion, no talks. And little by little, it's not that the family finally accepts what you are doing. It's the feedback. It's when they get to hear that you're good at what you're doing.
Right.
So after they go, oh, okay, so if other people say it, maybe we should believe it as well.
Right. It people say what you do is strange, and I go, yeah, but it gets results.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I understand it's not what you experience all the time, but what do you do with the results, you know?
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes, and I want to give now, and I'll give it a couple of times again when we come back, the phone number for people to call in. And we didn't talk about this, but if somebody has a question, can you do a quick reading for them and answer a question? Is that something you could do?
Sure.
Okay, so maybe we'll get some interesting questions tonight, too.
Okay.
The call-in number is 248-809-3474, 248-809-3474, so people can give us a call during the break or after the break and talk to Sophie. We're, you know... I still want to thank you so much for being willing to do this at 3 o'clock in the morning. And,
No. I'm very pleased. I finally woke up. No. It will be a long day because I'm moving abroad to record the show. But I'll be fine. You know, as you say, when you share a good experience like this chat together, it's okay. It's good.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a short break. Everybody stay with us. We'll have a few messages, and we'll be right back on Empower Radio.
Coffee time.
Twenty years ago, the Americans with Disabilities Act was signed into law. The act was a huge step forward for the 50 million people in this country living with a disability, and the culmination of years of effort by those who marched and spoke up and refused to be treated as second-class citizens. It helped renew the promise that here in America, we're defined not by our limitations, but by our potential. As we celebrate the 20th anniversary of this historic legislation, it's important to remember that we're still fulfilling that promise. We're still working to secure the rights guaranteed by the ADA, the right to live and work without limits, the right to equal justice under the law, and the right of every person in this country to reach for the American dream. We've come a long way since 1990, and I'm committed to making even more progress in the years ahead. Visit disability.gov to see how you can help.
Brought to you by the American Association of People with Disabilities and the Ad Council.
23 traveling west on MSR Vernon, 4 Victor, 16 PAX, request MSR status, over. Roger, Scorpion 23, all MSRs and AOR at past 24 hours, 3 IEDs on MSR Vernon.
Victor X-ray, this is Scorpion 23, 1 Victor hit by IED at grid, Mike Bravo, 310-737, six small arms fire, request QRF and medevac at this location, over.
In war, there will always be casualties. And for our wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. American troops who suffer traumatic injuries need the support of every American. Join us and send your message of support to our wounded warriors and their families at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
Wanted to get your cat back after you lost it?
Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the inventnow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back, and thanks for hanging out with us and with Sophie Denis in France. I'm going to give out the call-in number again so people can call and ask us questions and join the conversations. That number is 248-809-3474, 248-809-3474. 3474. And Sophia, I want to make sure that people know how to find you. What's the best way for people to contact you?
My official website. It's www.sophiedenistarot.com.
And that will be when we post this recording on Empower Radio. All that information will be on the site as well. So, where were we in this story? I know that when you went to Spain when you were young, you had some teachers there. And what was that like?
Yes, in fact, you need to approach I've killed the concept of competition a very, very long time ago. And all my life I've tried to approach and to meet people like me. Because basically I don't see for myself at all. So I need really, really guidance with the living as well, okay? Not just mm-hmm. with the guys on top of me. And I met this famous astrologist very, very soon. I was like 15. And the funny story is that we had also a cleaning lady in our house, a very old Spanish lady, really nice. And basically, she called herself a witch, okay? Mm-hmm. And one morning, I came home, and she was putting salt on the furniture. And she said to me, oh, don't say this to your mom, or I get fired, okay? But I'm just putting everything clean in the house, so, you know, you have a positive thoughts and positive spirits all around. And I'm like, oh, my God. and then she says, well, don't you know you have the gift, okay? And I said, well, yes, I feel things and everything. So she said, okay, every Wednesday when you don't have school, come to my place and I will teach you the techniques. And I've done this, in secret, from 13 to 18 years old. And then I started to have people coming to see me for sessions. And when I left for Spain, people wanted to keep the connection. So I've developed the Skype session. Mm-hmm. Because basically it was made only in person or by phone. And the Skype became a great tool because you see the person. And me, I'm an audio medium, which means I don't really need to see you, but I need to hear you. Mm-hmm. I need to hear your voice. So this is great for me. And also I have free hands, you know, to play with my decks and to play with my cards. And it's very reassuring for the person in front of you because she doesn't think that she's talking to a machine. Yeah. a human being. And
exactly.
It's a great way to do it. So after Spain, Skype became, you know, like the way to do it. And now even people who live 15 kilometers far away from my home, they don't bother. They give me a call and they say, can we Skype? Can we Skype for a session? So I think it's good. Technology has its good sides.
Skype's an amazing tool. And obviously the audience doesn't know it, but that's how we're connected on this interview is through Skype.
Yes.
Through the studio.
Yes.
So, you know, the story that you're telling could be a wonderful movie, you know, about this young woman who had a special gift when she was 13 and secretly spent time with a wise woman that her parents couldn't know about, honing her craft and learning her skill.
Yes.
Until she was old enough to do it for people.
Yes.
Have you thought about selling the rights?
If Steven Spielberg calls me right now, maybe.
we never know who's listening.
We never know. Yeah, true. Or Luc Besson, maybe. Luc Besson could be a good director too.
Well, it's. You know, you make it sound like it's no big deal, and it just kind of happened, and now you do it. And I know that there's a whole lot more to it than that. So when you do a tarot reading for somebody, mm-hmm. what kinds of information can you give someone?
Well, people are in a hurry, okay, and they want details. They want information more and more. So you have to ask the cards, for instance, because when you have a feeling about someone, then you will help the person saying what she should do, for instance, to feel happy about herself. But you can also use I use Belin. I use the Oracle of Belin, which is a very, very famous deck. It's not a tarot, it's an oracle. And I will do it on the basis of the astrological houses. So basically you have a skeleton, and you can focus on very accurate things like the ego, the house number 2 would be money, okay? The house number 3 would be communication with brothers and sisters, and also communication skills. Number 4 will be your home. Number 5 will be the job projects, the business plans and everything. 6 will be business, health. 7 will be your husband or your wife, etc., etc., etc. So you get information thanks to the cards. So you can have, because I don't ask questions. At least the first time people come and see me, I don't ask any questions. Mm-hmm. After, when they get to know me, they come with a very accurate question, and then we develop on the question for 15, 20 minutes. But first time, no, I ask the person not to ask any questions.
So you're really combining astrology with something similar to a tarot deck, but it's an oracle deck, and looking at all the astrological aspects and reading in each of those astrological areas.
Yeah.
In the houses.
You work also with numerology. Basically, little by little, you touch a bit of everything that's spiritual, because you need figures, you need planets, because when you understand that we are all energy, and we are all connected because we are all energy, then you can't forget about the influence of the moon, for instance, or mm-hmm. the sun in your life, or Mercury, or, you know, all the planets have an influence very, very strong on your character, on your life, depending on the year you are living in. You know, you calculate this with your birth date. Because we live cycles of 9 years, basically, more or less, that we call karma. And year 1 would be totally different from year 7, from year 8 and 9, and it gives you indication. For instance, if you're living your year 9, you're at the end of a cycle, so you need to clean. You need to see what worked out for you and what didn't work. And you need to get ready for a new cycle that will last 9 years again. If you don't want to repeat the same mistakes,
right?
Yeah.
Right. And if you're at the beginning of a cycle, the issues are totally different.
Yeah, completely different. For example, year 4, you get someone asking for the building of a company. And I'd say that better wait for year 5, because 4 is kind of a year to think about, but you don't realize big things in year 4. For example, okay, after it's, you know, it depends on everyone, and you can't just say general things like that. You have to develop. It depends on each person. What's fascinating about the tarot is that you have 21 cards, and you can use those cards for 10 years and having the same 4 cards to answer a question, but it says another story every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same cards, but you don't see the same thing. If you're not just how do you say, tarologue? Because you have people who can read cards, but they can make the mistake of interpretation, and you have a psychic, which is completely different.
Right.
Completely right. Different. That's why I don't give course. I don't give course of tarot. Because if you don't have the gift, then you can do mistakes.
Right. Right. It's a totally different thing. I actually run into that with dowsers. I don't know. Are you familiar with dowsing?
No.
It's basically getting answers to questions using a pendulum.
Oh, yeah. I call it radiesthesia, no?
Uh-huh.
Radiesthesia.
With the pump. You know, and there are dowsers that look for water. There are dowsers that do all kinds of different things. But if they don't have some intuitive sense, after they run out of questions in their usual series of questions, which they usually call a protocol, they don't have the next question to ask to get information.
Exactly.
And that's the difference between intuitive and psychic gifts and using a biofeedback tool, whether it's a pendulum or it's the cards or something else. You can get a certain amount of information that way, but if you don't have a way to go past that and ask the next question and know what the direction is and what to look for, it's a very different way of working. And there are I use a lot of dowsing techniques because they're fast, but I don't use a pendulum. I call them scribbles. I put numbers and letters and scribbles on paper, but mm-hmm. I have a system for it, so I get a lot of information very quickly.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So when people call me, I do a quick reading for people to see whether my work is going to be appropriate for them, what the issues are. And, you know, it only takes me a couple of minutes to, I call it downloading, to download that information about a person or a building. Mm-hmm. In the same way that you could probably in the first few minutes do a spread with the cards and have a whole lot of basic information about somebody and what the issues are. Then the question is, what do you do with it? The question is always, what next?
But I don't know for you, but for the pendula, I ask the authorization.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't want to answer, it says no.
Right.
And I use another way.
Right. And the way I look at that, it's the information that you're getting is from the universe, from the universal consciousness, or however you want to look at it. Instead of getting it as a thought or a word or something that we would consider a psychic gift, you're getting it as a yes or no answer by the movement of the pendulum. The pendulum's a biofeedback device.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still getting it from the same source. You're just getting it in a much simplified way. And the trick with it, with the pendulum, is asking a very precise question.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask the wrong question, you'll get a strange answer, or you'll get the wrong answer.
Exactly. Or no answer at all. Or me, it would say, it won't work. So I just don't do it. Yes.
Right. So, and I rarely use a pendulum anymore because it's relatively slow and I've got other ways to download the information. And it's just, for me, a way that I don't have to go as deeply into a psychic state, especially when I'm having a quick conversation with somebody. When mm-hmm. I do the healing work and the clearing work, I'm in a altered state and, you know, in a very different place than I would be when I'm in the phone conversation.
This is very, very interesting too. Me, for example, I can't give sessions at someone's place because I don't feel at ease in people's places.
Right.
So, the energy of the house is amazing. I love houses. I love houses, but they all have a story, even right. The new ones.
Mm. Right, and a lot of what I do is clearing houses and the land that they're on of all of that historic stuff, of all the ghosts, of all the emotional events that have happened, often going back thousands of years. There could have been a war there 3,000 years ago, prehistory. And it would still be affecting the way the place feels and what it attracts to it. So,
do you get scared?
There are some pretty dark, scary things that I run into, but, you know, I've learned how to handle them. So most of the time, I'm not scared. Mm-hmm. I try and set the situation up so they're scared of me. You know, and what, you know, which sounds bizarre and arrogant, but
No, I understand completely.
But it's one of the basic things in doing the work that I do. You know, people say, what's the training like to do shamanic work? And in many ways, it's getting thrown into the deep end of the pool when you don't expect it over and over again.
Right.
You know, just thrown into strange and usually slightly frightening or very frightening situations with your teacher there.
Yes.
And learning that you can still do your work, even though it's really strange. It's getting desensitized to weirdness. And, you know, one of the things about most paranormal television shows and most paranormal investigator groups, they're looking for a confirmation that this stuff is real.
Yes.
You know, which is important. You need you need to have that. When it happens, it completely freaks them out.
Yeah.
And that's to be expected. You know, if an object moves that doesn't have any of way of moving, or somebody that you can't see taps you on the shoulder or shoves you, you know, the first time that happens, it's really scary. But at some point, you get to the place of, don't do that. You really don't want to do that. You know, and when it happens in my house, it's like, you saw all the protection. You saw that you're not supposed to be in the house. You better have a really good reason for being here.
What?
You know, because
it's true.
So, you know, it's turning it around to who's in charge. And in space time, in my little corner of space time, I'm in charge. We all are.
Yeah, very good. Oh, well. Yeah, it's the story of being 100% responsible of our lives. And exactly. Awake. Awake is a very important name. You know, we have a very famous psychic in France called Yagel Didier, but I think she's old now because I don't hear more often of her working anymore. And she says the how does she say? She says the tarot session is an art. No, the tarot session is a gift. Okay, the interpretation is an art, and the session itself is a mission of love, which is true. I mean, you need to love people to try and stay positive all the time, even if the person in front of you is not. But
right.
At the end, you can't save someone who don't want to be saved, who doesn't want to be saved.
Right.
They have to stay. They have to do one part of the job, even if you help them. They have to stay positive, and it's our responsibility as well to put them back on the right path of positive thoughts.
Right. And I constantly have people saying, you know, where did all these entities that are attached to me come from? You know, and I can give them reasons. You know, you were abused as a child. You know, you're extremely ungrounded. You have this going on, that going on, which is all interesting information. But unless they then do exercises to get grounded, do things like Ho'oponopono, really change the way they're focusing in their lives, they'll just, you know, I clean them up, they just bring them back.
Yes.
You know, it won't be as bad, because typically for someone that's got a big problem, there were a lot of them and now there'll be a few. But, you know, it's always that the person is doing it. It's not that it's some external force. Typically, it's not some external force that's doing it to them. They're just being attracted to that person. Which, you know, kind of brings us full circle back to Ho'oponopono and the idea that it's not necessarily our thoughts and emotions, which is how the law of attraction information looks at things. It's the things we don't know about. It's the subconscious, unconscious, often not even ours, things that we're carrying from history, from our family, from all kinds of things that are still a part of us that we brought in, and taking responsibility for cleaning that so that the world that we see, the part of the world that we create, changes in a positive way.
It can change very, very, very quickly. Huh? As long as you understand that your memories can be toxic, it's amazing. I've seen people change 100% in 1 month.
Yeah,
amazing. With Ho'oponopono, I'm talking. The law of attraction. It's a way of thinking. It's normal for me. It doesn't teach you everything. It doesn't teach you something special. It's like part of myself for so many years. But Ho'oponopono, I guess, is the next level.
The way I usually talk about it, law of attraction works as advertised, the way it's described, if you have no resistance and no unconscious blocks. Mm. So if you want something and there's nothing in the way, you'll get it. But the things that you can't have in your life, you're not getting because there are these deep unconscious emotional blocks that you don't have access to, and they work like spyware on a computer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's doing something that you don't want to be done, but there it is, and who knows where it came from. Ho'oponopono is the spyware program. It cleans up all that stuff without you having to know what it is. It's amazing work.
Exactly.
So I want to make sure that people, once again, know where to find you. And would you give your website again, and let's spell it for them.
Okay, it's www.sophie.tarot.com.
And all your information is there. I hope people connect with you and look for you, because you do some wonderful work. We haven't had a chance to trade yet, but I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. With your house cleaning, yeah, I'm very interested.
And again, thank you so much for being willing to do this at this crazy time. I know you have a trip later in the day to go do something else.
Yeah, well, 4 o'clock in the morning, I think it's time for croissant now.
You know, I knew that you said that you were going to cook, to bake them, and I didn't have the heart to tell you that I'm gluten-free.
But hey, I don't use gluten anymore. No. I know this great person who teaches me how to cook without gluten. So my croissants are amazing and without gluten.
Okay, now I, you know. Okay, you got me now.
Yes.
But this has been wonderful. It's just like having a conversation with an old friend. It's really terrific to spend the time with you.
Oh, it's very, very pleasant for me as well. As long as you can understand my English.
I've had no problem.
Okay.
I studied French, but I could never master the grammar. But French accents, I don't have a problem with. But hopefully the audience also is not having a problem. Again, thank you so much. I want to give my contact information so people can find me. Mm-hmm. And you find me at househealing.com, HOUSEHEALING.com. And on the contact tab, you'll find all kinds of ways to contact me. And I work on not only buildings and people, but also businesses and situations and all manner of things that are stuck or not working the way you would like them to be working.
And do you work with the distance, David?
I do all my work remotely.
Okay.
I do all my work remotely. Some of my clients and some of my colleagues are in Australia.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, space and time don't make any difference when you're doing this stuff. So it's making the initial contact, which I usually do by phone, but can also do it by Skype, and getting the information and giving people an idea what's going on. But the rest of it I do remotely. I just sit down and do it.
No frontier, huh?
No time, no space, non-local activity, as they say.
So you can do it in France, too?
Absolutely. Look forward to doing that.
Good to know.
Well, we're going to be winding up here. Thank you so much for being with us. I want to thank the audience for being with us. I hope you had a great time with Sophie. We will be back next week, same time, 9 p.m. on Thursdays, here on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. And my name is David Franklin Farkas, and I approve this message.